Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Beneath Vancouver Radio. Hopefully, you're having a wonderful day, evening, whenever you're tuning in. This is episode number 45, continuing that one episode a week streak. Hopefully, you guys are enjoying the content and enjoying the people that I'm having this amazing conversation with. And for today's episode and today's special guest, if you will, I have Julie from Tiny Planet Digital. Julie, how are you doing today?
Good. Thanks for having me.
Of course. Thanks for coming on the show. I appreciate you taking the time out of your busy schedule. But let's just kind of jump right into it. Let's start the morning strong and just kind of jump right into the first question that I always ask my guests here. Julie, who are you today?
Yeah. So professionally, I am Julie of Tiny Planet Digital. I'm a digital strategist with backgrounds in social media, e-commerce, and SEO, and, you know, multifaceted channels of digital marketing. And
right.
I guess with that, I am really passionate about supporting youth entrepreneurship and providing, you know, younger people with the skills you need and learning outside the classroom in order to, you know, succeed in business nowadays. I'm also a Yell mentor, which is a charity program that helps high school students develop entrepreneurship skills. And yeah,
I didn't know that.
Now you know.
I did like the Yell, like the speaking portion 2 years ago.
Okay.
Yeah. I went to like Burnaby and a bunch of different schools like around the Lower Mainland. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That was one of the greatest experiences.
Awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. So you know Vivian as well?
Yeah.
Yeah, she's great. She does a lot for that program. But yeah, I think obviously your kind of day-to-day role is a lot of digital marketing stuff, a lot of in the digital space, which as we both know and our listeners know is more important now than ever. But let's kind of backtrack a little bit. And you're a UBC alum, correct?
Yeah.
So let's talk about your journey a little bit through university and kind of how that transpired to being where you are today with Tiny Planet Digital and doing digital marketing.
Yeah, for sure. So I literally had no idea
that as other people as well.
Go to business school. So what I did in my university application process is I had a list of universities I wanted to go to. And then I had a list of different subject matters that I was interested in pursuing. And then I did some hot mixing.
Hot potato, yeah. Eeny, meeny, miny, mo.
I did. So then, like, I got into Western University School of Music. I got into Emily Carr. And then nice. I got into UBC for Business. And I was like, point, point, point. Yes.
That's the one.
Yeah. So I ended up at UBC Sauder School of Business. Really unexpected. I really had no idea what to expect there, what I was supposed to learn, and, you know, what the point of it was.
Right.
So I was really feeling kind of lost initially. And I think the first and second years of business school are very general. And without really knowing what you want to do with it is really difficult, like discerning the purpose of it, which I really struggled with. But fortunately, by third year, I really developed an interest in digital marketing. And that was around the time where, you know, social media and digital marketing really started to take off, like a more mainstream form of marketing and advertising. And I thought, interesting, something new, seems like a good career, and always changing, new and interesting. So that's when I really delved into you know, doing more in that sense. So I started with a lot of volunteer work just to build my skill set, try to learn more. But as you know, at UBC and a lot of major universities, even though there's a lot of value in the school, they are not up to date with the new improvements and technical skills of the programs. Even though by the time I was doing it, there were some new media studies courses, a little bit of digital marketing courses. But by the time we were finished the semester, things have already changed and like it's too slow. So I realized a lot of that was going on. So what I had to do was, you know, take things into my own hands. And so I started taking on clients as a freelance marketing consultant while I was in school, half for getting experience and mostly for building a portfolio for when I graduate. So by the time I did finally make it to the end, graduated, I had the choice of either keeping my roster of freelance clients or, you know, giving them all up and looking for a digital marketing job.
Right.
Yeah. And at the time, the better choice really just felt like starting my own company and going for it because I was young. Like, what do I have
to do? How do you know that's the best choice, though? Like,
don't.
You don't, right? That's a trick question.
It's kind of a guess. I think I've come so far with a lot of gut guessing, like kind of like how I was saying my university choices. I just pointed and picked. And then for this one, I just pointed and pick.
Right.
I think it's not necessarily about, you know, always knowing you made the right decision and not having any self-doubt. But I think it's more about once you make the decision, you kind of stick with it and evaluate if it's something you want to do for longer term.
Right. So of course.
I'm a big advocate of like, you don't know until you try it, right?
Yeah. Yeah. That's how this podcast started, right? I didn't know until I started it. Yeah. And here we are 45 episodes later, right? People are still listening. People are tuning in. So yeah, I'm definitely echoing that sentiment when it comes to just trying it out, right? And figuring it out. Also, as the saying goes, you're kind of building the plane as you fly, right? You're understanding what goes where, this doesn't work, this does work, and stuff like that. But I'm curious, though, obviously, times have changed and times continue to change, what being one of the pros and also, in my opinion, one of the cons of like the digital space and digital marketing is you definitely have to stay on top of trends and testing different things and stuff like that. What was kind of the experience like in your university experience when you're a student in terms of building those clients? Because I'm sure there's other students, graduates even, that are in similar kind of footsteps or want to test the waters as well when it comes to freelancing, consulting, et cetera. How would you best approach kind of clients in today's space, considering, you know, the situation that the world's in right now?
So I think stepping back a little bit, as soon as I got to UBC, they were like, networking is very important.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, especially as a business student.
Like, there was no further description of like the why of it, how of it. They just say it's really important. You have to do it. So I kind of started doing it just because I thought it was what I needed to do without any, you know, thought or process or purpose behind it, which is, you know, unfortunately kind of mindless.
Yeah. Shaking hands now is kind of like, whoa, but back then it was like, you'd shake hands, you know, people who are listening, they're like, wow.
But I think it worked out in my favor in the end, just knowing people, having the contacts. But okay, I think something I really want to highlight is your value as a student. So when I was a student, not very long ago, I'm not that old, I really didn't understand what kind of value I could provide to, you know, someone who's really senior or someone who's a lot more established in their career or a lot more knowledgeable. I'm like, well, you know, networking seems so fake because I'm just going up to them and be like, you know, internally, do you have a job? But you don't say that out loud. And, you know, I realized it doesn't have to be that way. I realized that a lot of people who are more established in their careers, maybe they're in a higher up management position and maybe they're not familiar with the day-to-day operations or updates in, you know, digital marketing trends, or maybe they are in an industry that hasn't, you know, taken digital marketing as part of their toolkit yet. And these are all valuable insights or, I guess, tools and, you know, some kind of knowledge and know-how you can offer to them. So I guess as a student, don't be afraid to be proud of what you have to offer, because there is value in what you're learning and what you're doing that's different from what people are doing at work every day, right? So try to figure out that differentiator and approach networking as a two-way street. Because I know they always say approach networking as a two-way street, but what does that really mean? Like, because a lot of times when you're a student, you can't really tell what you have to offer. So like, give it a think. Think about what they're working on, what their industry is, what they could need, and what kind of help you could offer them and what kind of value you could provide.
Yeah, no, again, I agree 100%. And I think especially as a non-business unit myself, or a business unit with a student with a non-business background, networking for me was very odd and almost kind of like, you know, this is a stigma back then. Maybe it is still now. Obviously, things are different and the world's different. But at least when I was kind of in my, you know, first, second year, third year, even in university, which again wasn't very long ago, networking was for the business students, for those who, you know, want to go into working into the big four, you know, yeah, and all that kind of jazz and buzzwords. When in reality, like, networks for anyone, really. And I think it's really an important skill set and tool and super valuable. And, you know, when I first started getting kind of exposed to the world of like LinkedIn and networking, and, you know, you're told again, you know, mentorship or networking is a two-way street, it sometimes gets difficult to really figure out exactly, as you mentioned earlier, as a student, like, what value can I provide to this person who's like, you know, X amount years older, X amount of years experience in the industry that I want. But it's being proud and understanding of, you know, they're not up to date necessarily in what's going on in our generation, right? The millennials, the Gen Zs, they're a different generation, and it's a different target audience that they're really trying to captivate, right? Which we, as being in that target audience, have a better understanding of how we work, right? So yeah, I think it's, you know, we kind of get that negative connotation of networking and, you know, people just spamming you on LinkedIn or spamming you cold DMs. But I think in general, it's a really powerful tool, and if utilized properly and really being able to see exactly and really not just give them like a generic, like, hi, I'm needing a job or something like similar to that, but really connecting with the person on a deeper level. And then from there, building that relationship. And then almost, I think, within that relationship, the job or the opportunity or whatever you're looking for will come down the line. But yeah, I couldn't agree more with kind of what you had to say there.
Yeah, for sure. And then I guess, like, I think networking, just the word gets a bad rep.
Yeah, networking.
Think of it more like building a relationship with people in an industry that you're interested in. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's essentially it. And like, okay, I used to do, I think, something that's kind of outrageous nowadays, but that's when Instagram kind of first became really popular while I was in school. I would message small businesses that I like and be like, can I shadow you? Can I go to your office? I want to learn more about your business. Mm-hmm. But then I know it sounds really outrageous, but there's nothing to lose. They're not paying you. You're just like, I want to go see your office, what it's like. Like, are you busy all day, or what do you do? I want to know. Like,
yeah, I think that's how you really, you got to put yourself out there. And I think obviously now it's a bit different, but I think in general, back then, yeah, like, just seeing, can I shadow you? Can I learn from you? And as you mentioned, you got nothing to lose. They'll say no. They'll say nothing. They'll leave you on read. Uh-huh. They'll reply. They'll be like, maybe another time. Yeah. But that's really all you're losing is the minute and a half, maybe even less, that it takes to, you know, create the message. Uh-huh. But in reality, like, the opportunity that you're getting is so much more valuable, right? So it's definitely, the opportunity cost is not very, very high at all. So
yeah, for sure.
Throwing a business term out there just to pretend like I know what I'm talking about, right? Did I make it? Am I a solder student? Yeah. Oh man. All jokes aside though, it's really important. And I really hope that a lot of people who are listening, students, graduates, like, you know, you have, no matter what point of in your life, you have so much to offer and so much to learn, I think, as well. I think again, now more than ever, being a graduate or whatever, you're done school, you kind of think like, okay, now it's time to, you know, work, you know, my 9 to 5 or work in the career that I want to be in or start my own business or whatever path you're taking, that the learning is always continuous. And especially now that things are pretty much changing, I like to think like every month there's almost something new going on, almost maybe even every week, right? So being on top of that and continuously learning and developing your skill set is super important. But let's chat a little bit more and kind of just kind of switch gears here in terms of the actual business that you kind of run and that you have on a day-to-day basis, which is now your full-time job. Let's talk a little bit more about, I guess, Tiny Planet, and just where the name came from, where the, like, obviously we know where the idea came from and kind of how it started with your freelancing, but obviously there's a big step from doing it to freelance to actually, you know, creating it to what it is today. So why don't you just share that with us a little bit?
Yeah, for sure. So as you know, when I was a student, I was taking on freelance clients. And it got to a point where I was just a personal brand, like Julie is helping with marketing, because that's as much as I could take it. Because, you know, at the time I was really unsure of myself. I wasn't sure what I was doing, if this is like legitimate career. So I was just be like, Julie is here to help with marketing, which is very weak branding, I would say. So then I decided that in order to increase my legitimacy and really to set myself up for growth, I wanted to start a company, because I realized that, you know, me as a freelancer, as a consultant, I could realistically only handle, you know, 5 or 6 clients a month.
Right.
And if I were to want to take this more longer term and, you know, reduce burnout, really establish that foundation for growth, I had to, you know, build a team, have a brand, have a company. So that's kind of the pathway I took. And funny enough, the name didn't come from some like philosophical, I don't know, thoughtful thing. So I couldn't figure out a name for my business initially. So I had a couple of friends sit down in my house, and then we started yelling out words randomly at each other to see what caught on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Tiny and Planet just came out, and there you go.
Yeah. So like someone said Tiny, someone said Planet, and I was like, great, Tiny Planet Digital. And it's really helped me, because I think it really, you know, outlines, you know, how small the world is through the digital world, and how you connect with a lot of different audiences around the world, which is a lot of what I help my clients do. So I really do like the name. But I have to say, like, given that story, I wouldn't have people worry too much about, you know, their business name and whether or not they have a website or not. Because I think a lot of people, their first obstacle in having a business is, you know, I need to make this logo perfect, and then I can do the next step. I need to have a website or the perfect name or whatever they need before taking the next step. And I think that's what's stopping a lot of people from, you know, really taking the plunge. So, you know, as you know, we sat around and yelled out different words to come up with a name. It's not something super intelligent or deep or anything like that, but I got to get started right away. So I operated my business without a website for like a year or more than that. So I think that's the power of networking again.
Yeah. I mean, I can totally relate to the website. Well, I had a website. It wasn't a good one at the time, and it still obviously needs work, and I'm going through renditions. But if I was waiting on the perfect logo and the perfect website, I think it would have been, I don't think I'd even have anything live right now, because I mean, the logo I love, like the Beanie Vancouver logo is great. Shout out to Rosalie who made that for me. She has the experience I didn't. But the website, like I remember the first time I made it, it was like it was with Wix, and it was just like an absolute, like just word vomit. It was something else, but I definitely didn't let it stop me. And I think back then, to be honest as well, like the standards were a little bit lower when it comes to like things. I feel like now everyone expects like a very sleek professional, like there's obviously a lot of like Squarespace. I don't know if Wix is still popular or not, but I definitely see more Squarespace. There's like Elementor, Webflow, all these different things that, you know, kind of have eased the burden on creating a really nice sleek looking website. When back then it was, you know, when I say back then, I mean like maybe 3 years ago, it wasn't as, I feel the standard wasn't as high. I feel like now everyone's kind of like, oh, let's look at your website. Oh, you know, it's not perfect. You know, it's stuff like that. In reality, I mean, push comes to shove. Like, do you have good service? Do you have a good product that you're selling or whatever in case your business is doing? Yes or no. A website's really not going to be the end all be all. That can always be improved. So, So funny enough, actually, when I first heard of the business name, I thought of like Little Big Planet, which is like a video game. I don't know if you ever heard. I was like, I wonder if that's where the inspiration came from. But no, it was just literally just friends coming together. Tiny Planet. All right, let's go. Tiny Planet Digital.
Yeah.
It's those moments when, you know, magic happens. But like when you, okay, so you've transitioned to that, and you've transitioned to like a business and being like a business owner. what was kind of scaling the business like? Because I think that's one of the biggest difficulties when it comes to small businesses and solopreneurs or whatever you want to call it. The scaling aspect and finding like right team members, you know, allocating your time as much as you can to the things that need your attention the most and stuff like that. So what was kind of that, that journey like? And I'm sure that journey is still probably developing today.
Yeah. So obviously I'm still in the process, so I'm not perfect. I'm just telling you more about kind of the iterative process I'm going through now and back then. So I think one of the biggest challenges I faced is kind of how I would describe it is like replicating myself. So initially when you're a freelancer, you're doing the work, you understand the quality, you understand the standards, this is how you want things.
Right.
But, you know, everyone is different. And once you bring on team members and you say, setting expectations of this is the quality I want, this is the standard I want, this is, you know, how fast I want you to do it. Sometimes I think in that communication, it's still something I am learning. It's like getting how to describe something to get exactly what you want. So that goes both ways. And I've realized that, you know, I've always thought that I have pretty good communication skills, but I realized that it's such a big and deep and complex topic, you know, based on what people's backgrounds or knowledge base or their experience are like, how they interpret, you know, make it longer could be really different.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
Something as simple as that. So you really have to be very specific in, you know, your guidance and your instructions and building that team to have the same level of expectations, whether that's work ethic, quality of work or whatnot. Mm-hmm. And I find that to be challenging from the switch of me doing everything myself to working with a team. So that was a big change. And then I guess looking at capacity is a very interesting one. So when you are a freelancer, it's really easy to gauge capacity.
Yeah, because it's just you.
Yeah. Like, am I busy or not? Yes or no. But when it's a team, you have to balance workloads, manage tasks, and kind of have make sure everyone is comfortable and not burnt out. So you're acting more, you know, as a leader or a manager, which is a different role than when you were initially as a freelancer.
Right.
Yeah.
I think that makes a lot of sense. And definitely communication. I think it was, I forgot. I think it was the two episodes ago with Ken and James from Cloud Athletics where we talked, they're brothers and they work together. And even like as brothers, communicating is something that's difficult, right? You'd think with family might be a little bit easier, but it seems like sometimes it can be even harder. So for some of us, like one, make it longer or can you shorten this, for someone else is kind of like, well, what do you mean? Right. And as again, I bring it back to the remote work that we're in and everything being kind of obviously in not a lot of office spaces being utilized, if at all right now, you don't have that typical or conventional face-to-face where if someone does have an issue or someone does have a question, they can just kind of be like, oh, Julie, what do you mean by like, is this long enough? Is this short enough? Does this need more editing? Where now it's like a Slack message, right? Or whatever communication software you use. But it's really important to be concise and to, at the end of the day, as you mentioned, be like a leader, right? For the rest of your team members and everything like that. How has, now that we're kind of on the topic, how has COVID kind of like affected everything? Mm-hmm. I know I've spoken to both on the podcast and, you know, off the podcast with different business owners that are involved like in the digital space. And I would say for the most part, most of them have said that it's kind of almost benefited them in the sense of business, because obviously there's a lot more need for that. But how has COVID kind of affected your business?
Yeah, for sure. So I would have to agree that it has been positive for the industry and my business, but it was a roller coaster ride, to be honest. Yeah. So I was unfortunately in New York City in March trying to get home.
Yeah. Oh, no.
It was horrible. And then they, as soon as I landed, they implemented the 14-day quarantine for travelers. So as soon as I left the airport, I was just stuck in my house for 14 days. And like, you know, the world was pretty crazy back then.
Yeah. This was when, like March?
Like March 15th. Yeah.
Okay.
which is right in the middle peak, of it.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, it was hard getting home. I had to.
Yeah, I can imagine the stress. Oh my gosh. I
know. After that, it was really depressing, given that, you know, you don't know what's going on, and mm-hmm. a lot of companies decided to pause their marketing spending with my company.
Right, of course,
because,
yeah.
Because, you know, they're not sure what's happening, and I work with quite a few companies in hospitality, so it Ooh. Really impacted them as well.
Mm-hmm.
But so I, you know, took some time for myself, really reflect on, you know, is this what I want to be doing? Is this the industry I want to be in? And then I did a lot of hobby stuff.
That's good.
Yeah. But by May, when the BC government decided to open up again,
mm-hmm.
well, you know, by that point, realize how important it is to be online, you know, be found online, to be able to interact with customers online. So it really actually helped me, because it saved me from explaining a lot of stuff.
Yeah. Why do I need this? Or yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's good.
Yeah. So since probably the summer, it's been really, really busy until now, mm-hmm. which I'm really, really grateful for. And yeah, I think I really do have a positive outlook on the industry and where it's going. And now that a lot of even older industries are starting to realize the value of it, I think it will be a big shift.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, as you know, I'll repeat it once and I'll repeat it again. It's like, if you're not online now, it's so hard to really maximize, I think, like your customer acquisition and just a bunch of other stuff as well, that, you know, if you're targeting certain generations, like those generations probably spend most of their time, if not all their time, online. Right. So, as opposed to pre-COVID, and it's going to be interesting to see definitely when things go back to normal, whatever that exactly means. I don't think we'll ever go back to a pre-COVID yeah. life.
Yeah.
Not to be pessimistic or anything, but that's just my opinion. I don't think we'll ever fully, like, exactly how we were pre-COVID. I don't think that'll ever be again. There'll definitely be some changes to how people interact and people, you know, I think a lot of culture shifts as well, but that's not the point of this podcast. That's another conversation for a different time. In terms of, I guess, like being able to obviously transition and adapt. And I think that's kind of like one of the big buzzwords or big keywords when it comes to, like, you know, entrepreneurs, business owners, small business owners, et cetera, is adapt, you know, to the situations that you're in. Being one yourself, what has been kind of like the biggest obstacle, I think, outside of COVID aside, what has been your biggest obstacle in terms of building like Tiny Planet?
Yeah. That's a very good question. Honestly, because I've never worked a corporate job in an office, sometimes mm-hmm. I really do feel like my biggest obstacle is myself.
Right.
Because I find that I could be really harsh on myself, very mm-hmm. negative towards myself, and just being very critical. So I would say, like, self-doubt. Your imposter syndrome.
Yeah, imposter syndrome, yeah.
A lot of what people are familiar with could be one of my biggest challenges in terms of, you know, really growing and scaling my business. So mm-hmm. when I first started it, I was like, I'm too young. No one would take me seriously.
Right.
But I guess something for everyone here is that, given the nature of digital marketing and being online, being young is actually a huge benefit, because yeah. people that are slightly more senior really believe that you know what you're talking about because you're with the times.
Yeah, you're hip. You're cool.
So that really helped. So initially I thought, you know, my age or my background, my lack of experience, or whatever I thought in my head would be the biggest obstacle in me getting clients and whatnot, or me not having the right connections, etc., would be the obstacle. But a lot of it is just in my head.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say, really, growing a business, establishing a business, most of it is in your own head. Like, are you willing to do it or not?
Yeah. I think that's what it boils down to, right? Are you willing to put in the work? And I was talking about it with Dina earlier yesterday, that it was like, at the end of the day, if things don't grow or things, like, don't develop or work's not put in, there's really no one else to, you know, blame, I guess you could say, besides yourself, right? And if you're not putting in, like, the sweat equity, the blood, sweat, and tears, you know, at the end of the day, nothing's really going to push you to do that besides yourself. So that's super important. And I think the most rewarding part, that as well, and I'm maybe you can relate to this, is just seeing like the fruits of your labor, right? And seeing kind of things and your ideas and your goals kind of like manifest and come to life and come to fruition, whether that's like getting, you know, an X amount of clients or X amount of retainers, reaching a certain kind of like subscriber count. Obviously, it doesn't matter what exactly the achievement or the goal or the milestone is that you're going for, but obviously achieving that, it's nice to reflect and think back of, you know, looking back at where you were like a couple of years ago, because we're always chasing the next kind of thing, right? I think that's one of the not the downfalls, but one of like the negative things when it comes to like, you know, business owners or entrepreneurs, is that you're always chasing for that. You're always wanting to climb that ladder. Sometimes you don't look back and you're like, oh my gosh, like I'm really up on this ladder, right? When I only started down all the way down there like a year or 2 years ago. So it's important to self-reflect and be grateful and just recognize of how far you've come and everything like that. So yeah, that's a really good point. I'm curious, just because you brought it up earlier, and it was a good program, and I talked about it a little bit in this podcast. Like I did it about over a year ago, almost 2 years now. But I'm curious on how you got involved with like the Yale program and stuff like that, because I definitely think it provides a lot of value for younger individuals, for the youth, as they say. And I'm not sure how they're doing it now. I still follow them on like their socials, and I see like a lot of it's through Zoom, obviously now. But I'm curious to maybe hearing a little bit more about your experience and kind of how you got involved with that program.
Yeah.
And just maybe for those who don't know what exactly Yale is, I think as well.
Yeah. Please add on if I don't explain it well, because.
Yeah, of course. Well, my perspective might be different from yours, but if I do, yeah, for sure. I'll add anything.
Yeah. So basically it's a kind of mentorship / business guidance coaching program that is implemented in a lot of high schools. When your high school has entrepreneurship or business classes, the Yale program brings in mentors, whether that's business students, business owners, or established, you know, professionals to come in. And we kind of do a Dragon's Den or Shark Tank style kind of program where students come up with a business idea, they pitch it to you, and each mentor gets to pick a team to work with. And then by the end of the semester, the students do kind of a competition of their business ideas. And throughout the process, the mentors work with the students to validate their business ideas, find any challenges, smooth out any obstacles, and making sure that, you know, their business plan is solid moving forward. And then they go to competition usually around May to June-ish.
Yeah, around spring.
So I got involved because I saw it on LinkedIn and I thought it was something.
Oh, wow, really?
Yeah, I was that's like, cool. What's this? And I've always been really passionate about, you know, supporting youth in entrepreneurship, because I personally had such a hard time going through it. So I really wanted to, you know, give people advice, tell people about, you know, it doesn't really matter, just try. So that's kind of how I got involved. So I've been doing it for 2 years. This is my second year. And I am with the District of Surrey to help the students in their business program. And it'll be going through Zoom. So they'll be pitching through Zoom, and then we'll also pick a team through Zoom and then work with them on a week-on-week basis.
Yeah. That's awesome. I'm happy to hear. It's funny though, like you just found it on LinkedIn, right? You just kind of like stumbled upon it. And I think that's, you know, that's when great things happen, is when you kind of least expect it. And yeah, it's so important for the resources that are available now, I think, for, you know, high school students, even students in university as well. I think reflecting on at least my high school experience, I definitely did not know what I was doing in terms of what I wanted to do as a career or anything like that. I was just, you know, going along with the ride, having fun, you know, and just enjoying, I guess, again, that kind of time frame. But looking back at it all, it's like for the students that are interested in that and the resources that are available in today's kind of, you know, system or educational system is so nice. And being able to go through that, I think, is really a great experience, regardless if, you know, you win or, you know, or whatever the case may be. Just going through that, I think, is super important. It doesn't even have to be like someone who's into entrepreneurship or wants to be a business owner, but there's so many other skill sets and hard skills that you learn from that, like how to communicate, right, as a team, how to pitch someone anything. I mean, it doesn't really matter if you're pitching like a a product or a service, or down the line, you at one point or another, you might have to like try to sell something to someone, or try to communicate the value of something to someone, right? So it's like that typical thing, like sell me this pen, right? So being able to do that more better and more professional, I guess, as a way to say it, than other peers is obviously a benefit, and just the overall experience. I know it's kind of sucks that obviously it's through Zoom right now, because you know the in-person experience, in my opinion, I think is a lot more, you know, you get a lot more out of it, because you're like, you're all together, you're figuring stuff out, you're kind of like you're in the trenches almost, so to speak. But it's nice to hear that that's still going. And yeah, I can pretty much just echo what Julie said. My experience was not as a mentor, but just someone to go out there and speak to a lot of, I think it was grade 11, grade 12 was the grade that I was speaking at. I went to two schools, and it was just like a great experience, just being able to share my stories. And I think for me personally, it was just kind of letting people know that you don't have to be a business student or go into business to be involved in like the business space, as long as you have like the interest and the passion for it. Mm-hmm. And so that was nice to just be able to share that, and hearing, you know, their questions and people asking me like, oh, how do you do this? How do you learn that? How did you do that? And just going there to give back, I think is something that I'm a huge advocate for, and you are as well. So I'm happy to hear for that. But I guess like now, to be honest, we're unfortunately wrapping near the end of our episode, which again, time flies. Like again, even though I'm 45 episodes into this, like it always boggles me on how quick like everything goes, and I have to make sure that I'm not going over, because unfortunately there is, you know, a thing called an attention span, and not everyone wants to listen to hour and a half long episodes. But as the end of the podcast episodes do go, it's kind of like the go-to question that I have here for my guests. And I'll let you in on the secret. And Julie, what piece of advice would you give to your younger self? And why would that be?
Yeah. So I would say, you know, don't look down on yourself when you're a student. Mm-hmm. That's a really big piece. I shared that earlier in the episode, but really figure out what your value as a student is, and it can really take you really far. Because, right. You know, I think if you are able to utilize your position as a student to leveraging that position to build your network, you know, everyone wants to help the student. You can say, I'm a student, I'm trying to learn. You know, mm-hmm. something you have the opportunity to say or do in a few years. So really take advantage of that. And, you know, intrinsically, everyone wants to try to be helpful. So don't be afraid to reach out for help. And like for anyone listening, feel free to reach out to me if you want to chat, network, talk about digital marketing, my university experience or whatnot. Happy to chat. So feel free to reach out.
Yeah, I love it. And yeah, it's that simple. Simple but difficult, in my opinion, kind of philosophy of, you know, is Nike nailed it really when it comes to their slogan, just do it, right? and being able to, you know, overcome the fear of rejection or overcome the fear of failure, when in reality it's going to be a learning experience, right? Regardless of the outcome, if it's going to be a learning experience in the sense of you got to shadow someone, you got to learn from them, or learning experience from, you know what, maybe this approach didn't work, or this individual doesn't really have the time or want to chat right now, that's totally okay as well. One question actually that I did want to ask, and I want to ask this for future guests that are from UBC, what was your favorite part of campus?
Ooh.
Yeah. It's a little bit of a curveball here. I'll share my answer once you share yours.
It depends what it's for.
It can be anything.
Ooh. So weird, but like the Kerner Library basement.
Okay. Yeah. No, I vibe with that. That was my go-to study spot for years one and two. No service, no so service. I thought that would no service, so I'd study harder. When in reality, there was still Wi-Fi, and I was just on YouTube or Reddit half the time. But
like the air is different down there.
Yeah. No, it's definitely a different vibe. Like I remember. Without going on a completely different tangent, I remember studying for this one. I was in first year, my philosophy midterm. Don't follow my studying advice, by the way, by any means. This is something that you don't want to be doing. But I studied literally the day of the exam. I remember I grabbed my laptop. I had all the slides, all the tabs. Like you'd have each different PowerPoint lecture on different tabs. And I just go like, okay, yeah, that seems important. Write it down. I was there. think the midterm was like, let's say at 6 or 7 or whatever. I was there pretty much from like 10, 11 in the morning all the way until then. No breaks, just nonstop. Let me tell you, I failed that midterm. So you do not want to be studying like that. Then again, philosophy was not my strongest subject, but still, it was just, I remember that library. It definitely brings back memories to my rather terrible study habits.
Yeah.
That was not my, that wasn't going to be my thing though. My favorite part of campus though was something that I discovered, unfortunately, very, very late into my university degree. My last week of my, what I didn't think of the time of my degree, because it was last year in March. Little did I know it was going to be my last week on campus ever. Mm-hmm. But the Kerner Library as well, but not the basement, but the fourth or fifth floor. It's a really nice study space, open glass, natural light, lots of big tables with outlets as well. I mean, it's kind of pointless now because I don't know if anyone's even going on to campus or not, but once things go back to, again, normal, that's a nice little study spot as well. And also Blue Chip, as I think we both share that. Yeah. love for the cookies as well. But it's, university was a good time. It definitely flies. So make the most of it. I'm really saddened for people right now who are unfortunately experiencing, especially first years, you know, their first year, if they're in online school, it's definitely not the same, but hopefully they'll get to experience the on-campus experience soon, because it is definitely something that I will cherish and something that I definitely miss even to today. I remember graduating in March, in May, I was like, yes, finally, I'm done with this. And then I remember like a week later, I'm like, oh, you know what? I kind of like, at the time, obviously COVID as well, so it's kind of like amplified, but you're just kind of like, I miss school. Like I miss the social aspect.
Yeah.
So make the most of it, have fun with it, join clubs, network, do everything, get out of your comfort zone. But Julie, thank you again. I really do appreciate it. Thanks for coming on the show today. It's been an absolute pleasure hearing your story, hearing about the origins of Tiny Planet. I'll remember that always. Tiny Planet, let's go digital. We've got it. Eureka. It's that aha moment. And it's those fun times that really, I think, make everything enjoyable, right? So thank you again. And where can they find you? Where can they find you if they do want to chat with you, or if they want to see kind of your work, the work that Tiny Planet is doing? Where can they find you?
Yeah. So my website is tinyplanet.digital. That's tinyplanet.digital. So you'll be able to find my contact information, all my socials on there. So if you can go check that out, schedule a meeting with me, follow us on social, that'd be great.
Yeah, I'll make sure to have all the links as well in the podcast description, and in the, if you're watching this on YouTube, as well in the YouTube description below. So it'll be easier for y'all to find her work and what she does. But yeah, if you have any questions, digital marketing related, or want to hear more about university experiences and stuff like that, just give her a shout. She's more than happy to chat with you. So don't be afraid to reach out. I think that's a big kind of moral of the story today and of today's episode. But thank you again, Julie. I really do appreciate it. And thank you to all our listeners. We're going strong in this episode of week. I've got a couple already in the bank that are ready to go. And by the time you're listening to this one, there's going to be three or two more released prior to this. So make sure to check that out if you haven't already, and follow. I'm going to give my shout outs as well. If you want to talk more about kind of what I'm doing, and if you want to learn more about podcasting, feel free to reach out to me on socials as well. Aaron RODC. Once again, that's Aaron RODC. If you're listening to this, you probably know me already. And if you're not, then, you know, I'm happy to have a chat. I love connecting with people, and networking right now is more or less impossible unless it's remotely. So please reach out. I'm an extrovert and I'm lacking a lot of social interactions. So yes, feel free to reach out and follow again the Beneath Vancouver page if you want to see more of the content that we're putting out there. And other than that, thank you again. I'm having a blast doing these episodes. And this would, I guess, be the fifth one of the week. So only 47 more to go. No, 46 more to go. Because that's an episode a week, and we'll go from there. Thank you again, everyone. Julie, any final words before we sign off? Ooh, a little snapshot. Yes.
Yeah.
Let's do it. Let me know. I'll do my traditional, like.
Awesome.
Thank you again, everyone. Thank you so much for tuning. Make sure to, if you're watching this on YouTube, subscribe. I'm going to do that that chill out as well. Make sure to like and subscribe. That really helps us out. We're trying to get this podcast out there to the masses, not just Vancouver, but globally as well. We want to make this a staple within our community and just a space for people to just get to know each other and get to know the amazing people that make up our city. So thank you again. Thank you for tuning in. My name is Aaron, and this was Julie, and episode number 45 of Beneath Vancouver Radio. Farewell.